There's some guy who works at Bungalow 18 who was in the film.
By the way, Amin.
You know him.
Yeah,
okay.
His name's Amin.
Now remind me who he played. I can't remember.
He plays that guy in the factory called Ondine, who's...
Ondine.
Yeah, he's got like a black hat, and he's one of the factory members, and he's...
Okay.
Yeah. He's a sweet guy, actually. Very sweet guy. Yeah.
It's mildly disorienting to hear you speaking in your native accent.
Is it?
You know?
Yeah. It's different, it is. But her voice was so specific. I really worked hard on that. Cause it was such a... It's that real, like, old England, and it just sounds like money and Mayflower. And
there's also this thing. There's this kind of... kind of a trust fund kid attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, kind of... Your face is tilted slightly, and you're kind of, like, smirking.
Yeah.
There's a smirky thing.
Yeah,
like,
she does that.
What's next?
Like,
what's next? And that was right in that very first shot of you that I saw in the old cut.
Did you prefer the old cut?
I kind of did, because I thought it was, I liked the raw, lumpier feeling of it.
Can't say that, but I've seen so many.
That's not to say that Harvey made a more complete
commercial film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen this cut now? This last cut.
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw one in New York about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was Doris had actually were taking out a little bit of the narration for the version that opened here.
Okay, okay.
But it's not too different, you know, a little bit different.
Okay, so I can't watch it anymore.
Like, I watch it.
I've seen so many different versions of this film. It's really interesting to see, because we've all been so... It's been such a collaboration.
Yeah.
And to all be involved in so many different aspects of it, it's kind of... It's really fat. You see the power of the editing room.
Yeah.
It's a totally new experience for me. Can I have a sip of your Coke?
That's yours. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you're right.
Is that yours?
Go ahead.
I'll take a quick sip. Just a little one. Thank you. How do you know George? How do you know George?
Way back when I had a film class, one of those things where you kind of do a Charlie Rose thing with filmmakers, show movies, he had this thing called Dogtown.
Okay.
Remember that? 97?
No, I haven't seen it.
And it was just John Favreau was the lead.
Oh, okay.
And it was really pretty decent.
Yeah,
really liked
him. I love George.
And
so fond of him.
And then, of course, we just kind of kept in touch over the years. I'm a huge fan going way back to Hearts of Darkness.
That's just so brilliant, isn't it?
Isn't that so strange that we were saying that they released the big, definitive Apocalypse Now, the complete dossier.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Hearts of Darkness.
I know, it's
then.
Insane.
Give me a break.
I know, it's bizarre. And Mayor of the Sunset Strip I loved as well. I love that.
Definitely.
He's such a sweetie, isn't he, George?
Yeah. This is a total boilerplate, the research thing. I never read you any response in which you said, this is what I did to get into the head of... What did you do? Do you know people in that realm?
I do now. But I did like a year of research. I really worked an awful lot. Because we were, initially when I got cast in the film, it was kind of September, I think. We were going to start shooting in January. And then January came, we had finances, we lost finances. So it was this process of... with any independent film where it's really hard to get made. And so we kind of went through that process, and it was about a year after I auditioned that I actually started shooting. And during that time, I became completely obsessed, because she's just, in my opinion, fascinating.
Mm.
And read, well, there's the George Finch and Judith Stein biography, and then tons. I mean, the one good thing about that era was that they all just documented it so well. There's just tons of DVDs and documentaries and photographic books. And then Guy Pearce and I went to Pittsburgh together and made friends with people who run the Warhol Museum. And made friends with these people that run the Warhol Museum, and they let us into these back rooms where they have archival footage. So we got to see Warhol films that no one's seen. Where Edie's sort of in and out, and then worked on her voice, the way she smoked, the way she laughed, the way she danced. And you just sort of, you know, you're just creating a character, but I really didn't want it to be just a caricature or an impersonation of someone. And I really, you know, you try to capture the essence of the person you're playing, otherwise it's just not real. But charisma is a really hard thing to sort of capture, and that's what she was. She was this performance artist who's just unbelievable charisma. So it was more like understanding the psychology behind why she was the way she was.
Did you want to order something?
Can I get some tea? Some English tea with milk? Yeah.
I'm friends also with Shire a little bit.
Are you? I love him. I had lunch with him yesterday. I think I'm doing his next movie.
Oh, great.
With Dustin Hoffman, which would be cool.
Now, wait a minute. I read about this. What is this? Can you write?
The working title is called Father Knows Less.
And he hates that title, though, he told me.
Yeah, Dustin doesn't like it either. But it's like, but it's just a working title. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's not greenlit or anything like that. But we were talking about doing it, which would be fun. I love him. I absolutely love him. I've had really good experiences. Huh. I've been lucky, actually.
And it's Dustin be your father? Is that the thing?
And Diane Keaton to be my mother.
And would Justin Hoffman be the dependent, immature one who needs the
daughters? Charles Shire of the script, It's so funny. I love, he's just this brutal honesty in his scripts because it's his absolute life story.
Right.
It's funny. He makes me laugh. Mm. He's just neurosis incarnate in the best way. Sweetie.
Mm.
I have to go and meet the twins. Have you met his children yet? His new babies?
No.
It's so funny.
Charles Shire's story is when he was editing The Affair of the Necklace.
Yeah.
And I always thought of him as, you know, Nancy Myers' Charles.
The Schmeyers.
Yeah. Good. I remember that one. And
what movies have you loved that you've seen this year? Because for me, The Departed is just...
Definitely The Departed, definitely...
Do you think Scorsese will win Best Director?
Yes. That's a guarantee.
Do you think?
Because he worked, I guess he felt a little humiliated a little bit because he was pushed into doing all that stuff. And he looked like he was desperately looking for it. And everybody loves the fact that when he stopped trying to, and he just did this thing that he knows really well.
So good.
Isn't that true with every creative endeavor?
Yeah, and you find your niche. And it's really, I understand the process of kind of trying to play against yourself necessarily, as an actor as well. But actually, why ruin a good thing? He's so fucking brilliant at that. Just untouchable. I loved it. I thought it was perfect from the sound and the way that it zoomed in and the rat at the end and the irony of it. I just thought the whole... And I thought Leonardo was just amazing. Amazing.
Was there a point when you guys were shooting down in Louisiana? Was there a point when you started to feel that you really were getting in touch with this and it was working for you, at least on your terms? Or did you always feel that?
Well, no, the more I read, the more panicked I became, which is sort of, I think a week before I start any film, I don't sleep. And especially this, because I've never played a real person before, and you feel a huge responsibility. And I have a great friend, John Mabry, who's a director, a brilliant English director, and he said to me, he's a huge Edie fan, but he said to me, do you realise that after you do this film, Edie's going to be more associated with you than she is with herself, and that's a responsibility that you have. So that was like no sleep for days. And it didn't really, I really had done my best. I'd met everyone who I could, who knew her, and really, you feel like a detective or a historian in some sense. And I felt like I sort of understood who she was. But the responsibility of portraying that kind of frailty and the vulnerability that goes with the charisma, but showing that the charisma is just a front, that underneath she has far more depth. And therefore not seeming pretentious by being too la-di-da, which is what she was, because that was just a reaction to what she was fighting, inside herself. So it didn't really click. But our second day of shooting was that scene in the restaurant when I scream at Guy.
The meltdown was the second day?
Second day. It's like, hi, nice to meet you. And it's so ironic. And especially on a low-budget film where you're like, oh, fuck, and you see the schedule and you're just like, I can't believe it. So there was no room for kind of... I just had to jump, really. And I was scared, It was like you're standing on the edge of a cliff and it's like, I'm either going to go for this or I'm not. So I just sort of jumped. But once you have, because she had such a specific look, once I put the costume and the brown contacts and the wig and the makeup and I sort of looked and I saw a bit of her in myself, that sort of helped. And also doing that day on the second, that scene on the second day helped, because then I felt like, and the crew came up and they were like, we're with you. And that's, once you've got the crew with you, I think you sort of feel like you're part of the team. I'm a real collaborator. I have to be friends with everyone. But that was tough. Day two. So ironic, isn't it? It's topical. I loved it. As an experience, as an actor, I don't think it could get much better. I really wanted to try kind of losing myself in something. I'd never done that before, but really method. And we stayed in character a lot of the time, just because it was quite fun being those people. And Guy was just brilliant. And so it just...
I love the way you guys play off each other. His reserve, his coolness, his, when you were losing it, he's like almost droll in his response,
Yeah.
You guys are a good pair.
Yeah. I'd work with him any day of the week. he's brilliant. He's so dedicated as well. And just, he just cares so much about the work. He doesn't relent. He absolutely is on every, you know, every angle, every shot, every lens size, every word, every comma. He's just on it. So he'd phone me up at night and he'd be like, Edie, it's Andy. And I'd be like, hello, Andy. We'd have these conversations.
Mm. So you heard about Edie's brother.
Yeah.
His name is, what is it, John?
Jonathan. Jonathan Sedgwick, yeah.
Said that there was a pregnancy.
Yeah, I heard that.
Does he have anything to back that up?
There wouldn't be anything to back it up. And, you know, to be honest, I've talked to so many people and some people said, yes, something happened. Some people said, no, it didn't. And I mean, I've had conversations with him about it where he said that, you know, the motorbike crash that Bob Dylan had, Edie was on the back of that bike and she got taken to Bellevue and he got taken to another hospital. And Edie was so wrecked at that point, and she was saying to the doctors, I'm Edie Sedgwick, and they thought she was deluded, so they gave her 20 shock treatments in 4 months and aborted the baby that she had. Apparently, this is what I've heard.
Without making any kind of record of it or writing down...
Well, you see, maybe. Yeah. Maybe there's a way. Jeff, Detective Jeff, needs to figure it out. I don't know, but, you know, other people say... I mean, I know he gave her a cat. Dylan gave her a cat. And I saw a ring that Michael Poe showed me that apparently Bob Dylan gave to Edie, but...
Right.
You know, it's hearsay, and also it's a long time ago, and a lot of people were doing a lot of drugs, so it's hard for people to remember. Hmm. Bridget Berlin's like, I don't know. You know, she's like, we were all so high.
Right.
So, I don't know.
For what it's worth, I was moderately bored by Pittsburgh also when I was there.
We're not getting on
to
Pittsburgh.
I'm not going to go into that.
Really like Pittsburgh, but you know what it's like being British? Like, everything is Cockney rhyming slang. So we call a taxi a Joe Baxi, and the stairs the apples and pears, and Pitt just unfortunately rhymes with shit, and so it was just, it was, you know, I just have foot in mouth disease, I think.
That's a good quality.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm just incapable of bullshit, so I tend to just speak my mind.
Or maybe once or twice something will come out, but the other times, sometimes something interesting, profound, fascinating can come out. You know, you have to go with the whole thing or nothing.
I just blurt.
Mm-hmm. I just blurt, yeah. One blurter to another.
So. Are you a blurter?
I gotta be in touch with your blurter to be able to write. You know, and then it's the honing. As if acting, it's the honing of the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can't get the blurt out, forget it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, moments of clarity come within the blurt.
When might we be seeing the film that you shot in Pittsburgh? That's the mystery.
The Mysteries of Pittsburgh. I think that will be... there was talk of them trying to get it into Cannes, so I imagine it will sort of be around that time. And it's cool. I love the book. I love Michael Chabon. I think he's... Cavalier and Clay is another amazing book. He's a great writer. And although the film is sort of different to the book, Chabon was involved with the script. And the character of Jane in the book is much less than it is in the film. But Nick Nolte is just fantastic to work with. And Peter Sarsgaard, I've always loved. And John Foster, who is actually the lead in it, is just brilliant.
John Foster.
His name's John Foster, yeah.
Where did I see him?
Oh, he's sort of new, but he just did a film with Russell Crowe where he plays like a serial killer.
Not the American Gangster.
Maybe. I can't remember.
The one with Denzel Washington.
Russell Crowe. Is Russell Crowe in that?
Yeah.
But, so John's the main part in that. So maybe it's not that one.
Oh, okay. Australian film then.
No, an American one.
American film.
Yeah. He's really, really good. He's like the most technically perfect actor. I always like smudge a mark and fall over.
I just can't get over how I don't know what it is, but you really don't look the same. You look like somebody slightly different, you know?
That's good.
Tribute to your...
That's good. I really went there, I have to say. Then it was so... Oh, I don't know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you need some menus as well?
The coffee is great.
I'm with this, thank you.
It's a little... It sticks.
Like that,
there,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your look? What do you look like in Mysteries of Pittsburgh?
Well, it's set in the 80s, but we didn't go to kind of blue eyeshadow, pink lipstick. We sort of... It has suggestions of 80s and clothing, and I have long blonde hair, and she was quite kind of natural. It's quite a natural character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sweet. It's like, it's kind of... It's sort of a film about youth, I think.
Right.
Which I'd never done, and I thought, God, I just turned 25, so I thought that...
What do you think, by the way, that movie, the film... The book was not made into a film until just now when it came out in...
80s.
Did it come out? Yeah, it came out in the 80s.
I don't know. It's funny, but I don't know why Cavalier and Clay hasn't. I mean, I know that people had tried to make that film, Cavalier and Clay.
Is it a tough one to lick in terms of the script? Is that it?
No, it's like a perfect... You read it and it's a perfect film.
Right.
So I don't know. I think well, people option books and then don't go around to make them, then the options run out after 20 years or whatever, and then someone else. So I guess it was probably just a case of that.
Wasn't Wonder Boy shot in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't shot. No, I'm not sure if it was shot in Pittsburgh.
But it was someplace.
Silence of the Lambs was shot in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I don't know, but the same writer, yeah. I love that movie.
Because that's a... I remember it's snowy and kind of... They're definitely East Coast-y on some level.
Yeah, it is. It's got that...
College town.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the great...
Maybe it has. Maybe it was shot there, but that was a great film, isn't it?
It's kind of a stoner film in a way, you know. I mean, there's like a few movies that are funny if you have had a period in your life when you've gotten high a lot, and you know what it's like to laugh that way, right? Like The Big Lebowski.
Oh my God, yeah, but that's a complete... The Dude! That is a complete stoner film.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough movies. I want to see Infamous. Have you heard about the other Capote?
The other one,
right. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
No?
I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as...
He was good, the guy? You didn't think he was good, Toby Jones?
He's a natural, and he's definitely inhabits. You believe him instantly. But I swear to God, he's more party-ish. Okay. And more... there's a kind of thing about Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's just in there better. I just don't know how to say it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Despite the fact that he's much larger.
Yeah. Because Toby Jones looks so like him. I just read In Cold Blood.
Yeah.
I hadn't read it before, and I just read it on holiday, and it was such a brilliant book.
Mm. Is there anything else that is... See, you're a real, you know, hardcore actress now after this movie, so you're getting different...
Thanks, Jeff! That's so nice to hear at last.
It's good work.
Thanks, brother. No, I mean, I sort of... I did 5 films last year.
Mm.
So I've done 4 since Batchy Girl, and I sort of want to wait
till... Can we just run them down on the tape?
Yeah, I did Batchy Girl, and then I did... Oh, a film called The Interview with Steve Buscemi. And that Steve Buscemi directed, and it's just me and him in a room, and it's a remake of a film by Theo van Gogh, who was a Dutch filmmaker murdered by a Muslim extremist.
And that was shot?
That was shot in April last year.
Is there any chance of that being at Sundance?
We're going to Sundance with it. Are you going to be there?
Oh, certainly.
Will you come?
Yeah, absolutely.
On the 20th. We're screening on the Saturday night.
Wonderful.
Please come.
Absolutely.
And come to our party and everything. Great. But I'm so proud of that, because it's like, it's the kind of movie that I love, and it's got a real European feel to it, a real Dutch feel, actually, appropriately enough. And we used the same crew, and it felt political in that this guy was, you know, murdered by a Muslim extremist. And Steve Buscemi, I have just adored. I just think he's just brilliant. And for him to direct, and just me and him basically in a room, and it's a really intense kind of... It's just brilliant, and it's funny.
Now, you said it's based on another film.
It's a remake of a film that this Dutch filmmaker
made. Can I find that on DVD,
other
one?
Yeah, you'll probably be able to. It's called The Interview.
Okay.
And it's Theo van Gogh. Okay. Theo van Gogh.
So any...
You should be able to get, the
original.
Any
good DVD story has the European stuff.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so there's that. There's Mystery of Pittsburgh.
And then I did a small cameo in a film called Stardust, which Matthew Vaughn directed with Robert De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer and Charlie Cox and Claire Danes. And it was just like a cameo that I did because I'd worked with Matthew Vaughn before and it was fun. A couple of weeks. And then a movie called Camille with James Franco that was like a little kooky love story playing a girl from Kentucky. And it's really off the wall and satirical. And I actually had a great time doing that as well. I love being from Kentucky.
James Franco.
She says it's like hot taggers, hot tag by really sweet. James Franco, he's...
And Joel Michaeley.
Joel Michaeley's in
it,
yeah.
We're together.
Oh, yes.
At the party for Notes on a Scandal.
Oh, no. I love that movie.
And they had been doing some press on Dead Girl.
Right.
Or at least James had.
Yeah. James is... He's going to be in Sundance too.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Mm.
He's a really great actor and a great friend. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Mm. And then... what else? Is that it? Yeah, and then The Mysteries of Pittsburgh. It's a busy year. So I'm sort of looking forward... Well, this is a lot of work promoting Factory Girl, and we haven't got much time to do any sort of It's come out a bit late. Yeah, that would be really fun. Party in the snow. But I'm proud of that film. It's like it's the kind of film that I would watch and think I'd love to be in a film like that. So I'm chuffed. And it feels like they have integrity because they're independent and they're real characters. I'm not good at just being the girl. I figured out I have to be more character-y.
Hmm.
So I'm sort of waiting and just seeing how Factory Girl goes down. And I bought a house in London that I've got to decorate and move into.
Frankly, I wish that everything had gotten to the point where it is, because as a colleague named David Holland says that it would have been better if the whole thing had been finished.
I know.
In November, because people are so slow to see things, I guess.
We don't have a shot at anything, do we?
What?
We don't have a shot at anything now, do we?
I think it's just coming in too late.
Yeah.
Everybody's, it's not. I mean, not for me. I've been talking about it, but people. You have to need a consensus, and people have to
see it. And.
But it's just the way the town is. People are slow. Even what I was told today, as an example, that the great Children of Men, right?
I haven't seen it. I've heard. I was talking to Alejandro Iñárritu, and he's just said it was brilliant. He's a friend of mine. And Alfonso's a friend of mine, too, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I love the script. Is it brilliant?
It's dead brilliant.
Is it?
It is. I mean, it's like one of those things it's the immersion. It's the completely fascinating, detailed, believable portrait of England. Not that far off. But enough.
But feasible. I mean, that you believe it. I think
completely
believe absolutely.
It.
I think all of those Mexican guys are just making fantastic films. I haven't seen Babel either. I haven't seen anything. It's been in Factory Girl hell.
You should know that they're tomorrow. Guillermo del Toro is having.
I haven't seen that either. Is it amazing? Pan's Labyrinth.
That's one of the best ones too. But anyway, he's having a screening of it. He's hosting a screening of it tomorrow at Universal.
Alejandro told me, but I've got,
Is Alejandro going to that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is.
So anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, this is a director friend, I'm not going to name him. He wrote me and said that the reason that only one of the Three Amigos got a director's nomination, because he says it's almost 100% because screeners didn't go out to DGA members.
Yeah.
They had a thing briefly where screeners were allowed, or they were going to be allowed, and then also because they both came out late, and people are not seeing them as quickly now.
Yeah.
That I don't understand. If you want to see something,
you see it,
Anyway.
C'est la vie.
Hmm.
But I'm proud of it. That's good. I mean, that's if you feel a sense of achievement, I guess, then you've done your job.
You've done your job. Good work.
Thank you.
So where is home?
Home's London. It doesn't feel like it. I've been living out of suitcases for a long time. Basically a year, I haven't really been there. But so that's, I'm looking forward to spending more time there, and I've just bought this gorgeous house, my first house.
Do you live in the city?
Or? Yeah. So sort of near Maida Vale and St John's Wood.
Which is
London.
No, that's north near
Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah.
Camden Town and to the left?
Near there, yeah. Not far, 10 minutes.
You know, when I think of Maida Vale, I always think of Dial M for Murder, because that's where Ray Milland and Grace Kelly are living.
Is it?
And he comes over and he's going to sell a car at the beginning, and he says it's Maida Vale, and he tells him the metro stop.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it. It'll be nice to be at home.
Are you a decorator? Are you pack rat? Do you like to?
I'm like a hoarder. I collect and then I can never throw things away, so I've just got junky bits. I collect first edition books, so I've got like tons of beautiful books and like little odd bits and bobs. But I'm looking forward to now I've got a proper space I can do something with. It'll be fun.
I think I gotta get going.
Okay.
3:30. Yeah. Well,
thank you for coming to chat.
Thank you very much for sitting down.
Chatting. But I'll see you in Sundance. That's going to be great.
That's really cool. Thanks for telling me about that.
Yeah.
Now, that's the 20th, which is 2 days after it begins.
So
Thursday
the
18th,
night.
So it's Saturday.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a gathering somewhere after is it going to play at the Eccles Theatre?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, the big
I've never been to. I have no idea. But I imagine, I'm just excited. I think you like it. It's cool.
I have this feeling there's probably not going to be any snow up there, because there's something really wrong going on now.
In the planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was in New York City. It was 70 degrees 3 days
it's
ago.
It's really scary, isn't it? you suddenly realize we're completely destroying this.
And there's and you know, like we were saying, if you want to see a movie, you see the movie.
Yeah.
If you don't want to believe what everything is telling you, you're not going to believe it.
No, exactly.
You know? Oh, we've had dry spells before. Yeah.
There's something really, really, really wrong. I've just done this thing. I've joined this thing, which is campaigning for people to become carbon neutral. Have you heard about this?
Carbon neutral,
yeah,
right.
So I'm carbon neutral.
To not leave a footprint. Or
well, you basically,
that's what it means, right?
Yeah, you figure out, they can figure out the amount of carbon that you use personally in a year, and then you replace that by planting trees to replace the carbon. And I mean, unless people start doing this now, unless we start putting back what we've taken, in 10 years the planet is just, it's irreversible damage. We have like a 10-year window to reverse, otherwise
right.
In 100 years it's flood. I mean, it's just, it's really, really fucking serious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where, I mean, there's so much poverty and everything there, but actually what's really important is focusing on the fact that we're destroying our world. There will be no world if we don't.
Yeah. 10 years.
10-year window.
Is that...
To change the damage that we've done, to stop it before it becomes absolutely...
Is that more or less what Al Gore's film says?
I haven't seen it.
Dev,
I've just been working my ass off. I've done nothing. I haven't had the time. I'll get this bill, don't worry, if you have to run away.
Yeah.